superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Sorry, Rich. Blockbuster trade going down right now.
Okay.
Von Miller.
Wait, what?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Broncos are finalizing a trade to send Von Miller to
the Rich Eisen Show.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Of course they're doing that.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson. Still to come, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. From the CBS comedy The Neighborhood, actor Max Greenfield. Plus your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Rod Woodson, Pro Football Hall of Famer in hour one. If you missed it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show is the place to go. If you can wait, if you'd like, we re-air on NBC Sports on Peacock. We also have a podcast version of this show. We appreciate if everybody checks that one out. Cumulus Podcast Network is the spot for all of that. My Just Getting Started podcast is reaching its stirring conclusion, the 10-episode arc of season two of Voices of the NFL, where I've spoken to Joe Buck and Jim Nance and Al Michaels and Michael Strahan and Aaron Andrews and also Chris Berman. We also spoke to Kevin Harlan. Last week was Amy Trask. You can get all those conversations about their beginning of their careers and how they got to where they've gotten and words of advice for you and great stories from their NFL years, it's current and past. Adam Schefter is tomorrow's guest that will be dropping tomorrow. And episode 10 will be Chris Collinsworth. So get that where all has gotten. And speaking of Adam, he tweeted out moments ago that Jalen Smith, the Dallas Cowboy released linebacker from just a few weeks ago, and he signed with Green Bay. He's being released by Green Bay. So does that mean they're making a move for someone else in the trade deadline today? Because the trade deadline's at 4 Eastern time today, and we've already seen a maneuver involving a defender and one of note, former Charger, now current Pittsburgh Steeler who wanted out, Melvin Ingram, is going to Kansas City and for a 6th-round pick next year. And it was 1 week ago today that Mike Tomlin had his press conference in Pittsburgh, his weekly press conference, with one of the greatest drops of all time that's now in our Hall of Fame. Do you have that one that you could play real quick for me right here, Mr. Feller? This is amazing.
Never say never, but never.
This is the greatest, okay? And as you know, I love Mike Tomlin. I love his press conferences. I love the way that he expresses himself, and his use of the English language for me is just it's a beautiful thing. It's coach speak. It's football speak. It's just honest speak. It's from the heart speak. It's Tomlin speak. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
So he was asked about trading away Melvin Ingram today, and it's another instant classic, in my opinion.
Mike, in regards to Ingram, how do you balance sometimes what a player desires or his wishes are if it is to be traded, as opposed to maybe what you feel, what might be best for the team or what the team needs at a position?
What the team needs is first and foremost. And that's just how it goes. That's the component of team sport and football in particular. That's always the first and foremost. But from a team perspective also, it's better to have volunteers as opposed to hostages. And so that's good for the team as well.
How does he come up with these? That's what I really want to know.
I just love Mike Tomlin. I heart Mike, man. It's better to have volunteers than hostages.
Like Rich Hart's Tomlin, like the Bob Hart's
Abishola?
Yeah.
Done. 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 And you know who also Hart's Tomlin is? Bob from the show.
Of course. Yeah. Well,
Billy
yes.
Gardell loves Hart's Tomlin.
Yeah, right.
Billy Hart's Tomlin.
Yes.
We Hart Billy. So while we're on the subject of volunteers or hostages in the American Football Conference Northern Division.
Okay.
Who is Odell Beckham Jr. right now in Cleveland, Ohio? Is he a volunteer or is he a hostage? Because if he is, let's just say the latter, a hostage, it appears Dad put an old hostage video up on Instagram. 11 minutes in length. Uh-huh. One piece of film after another of Odell being open and not getting the football. Which is, you know, I think you could probably make that video, maybe not 11 minutes in length, but you could make a video of any receiver in the NFL, okay, that is open and doesn't get the football over a certain span. And you could do that for anybody, name it. I'm sure Devontae Adams sometimes does not get the football when he is open. As somebody who is a fantasy football lover and owner of the tremendous all-pro future Hall of Famer DeAndre Hopkins, I could make a video of the number of times that I need DeAndre Hopkins to get the ball.
Same.
And he does not.
Yep.
Okay. But to splice this all together, to go to the edit bay, to use the TV phrase, and splice this all together and put it all together and post it the night before a trade deadline is particularly provocative.
It's a move.
It's a move.
Yep.
So what are we saying here? That you want out? That not only do you want out, but you're creating an environment that makes it uncomfortable for you to stay. So what gives? And I know, Chris, you are a leading forefront member of the Odell is no longer the guy who we saw in New York club, and his numbers certainly support that. His post knee injury numbers certainly support that, that the day of Odell flashing and grabbing the one-handed grabs in a game and lighting it up and being just, the difference
the
maker is
that,
over.
I don't want to feel that way, but just the last few years have just shown he's not the same player.
It does beg to the question of what's up and why not? Why can't it work? Why hasn't it worked? Because I would have a feeling that if by 4 p.m. Eastern today, I'm just going to choose a team, just pluck it out of the hat. Let's just say by 4 p.m. Eastern today, Odell Beckham Jr. is wearing the red, white, and blue uniform of the New England Patriots. I would proffer to say they'd figure out how that works, that he would be more, if the two extremes are, in terms of acquiring a receiver for the New England Patriots, the two extremes are Randy Moss on one end,
sure,
right? Honestly, you can't get any higher up that food chain, Pro Football Hall of Fame, right, and also results from an acquired receiver that everybody thought was no longer the same and had reached the end of a road that had a heck of a lot more miles on it once he arrived in New England. If that's one end of it.
Okay.
The other end of the spectrum is Mohamed Sanu.
I was going to say, yeah.
Okay. A second round choice for somebody that did nothing. Like his only contribution could have been to maybe, behind the scenes, helped, you know, load the muskets for those Minutemen in the end zone, just who scares the crap out of me every time I'm in Gillette and they fire those things off. Like, oh my God, you see the whites of my eyes. You'd have to think Odell's somewhere closer to the Randy Moss end of things. And that's just New England. You'd have to think somewhere, like, what if he would never show up in the Ravens? Let's go in another conference. What if?
Well, the Green Bay.
What if Green Bay?
People think Green Bay needs
him. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah.
You put
what if?
Him with
what if? What if? What if we don't know? What if we don't know? if Antonio Brown's ankle/heel injury is more serious than believed, and the all-in team keeps on getting more pot committed themselves. I'm keeping using this phrase. What if he shows up there? Do you think he's done there? So if we believe that about a new spot, why not here? What's up with that?
So is it coaching?
Well, I think that's obvious. You just answered it.
What, is it Baker?
Put him with Rodgers. I'm not saying it's Baker, but you put him with Rodgers. You put
him
with Brady.
It's also a scheme.
Scheme, I think Odell.
Because I said put him with Mac Jones. I just said put him with Mac
Jones. I was going to question that one. I don't think that Mac Jones would be the one to resurrect Odell. Come on.
You don't think Belichick and McDaniels would know how to figure out 13? I mean, figure out that Rubik's Cube that no one else figured out? Like they did with Corey Dillon? Like we can go on and on and on and on.
And the one piece that team is missing is a field stretcher.
Yeah.
On the outside. Yeah.
I think it would work.
You know, Odell and Randy Moss, very similar where they're at this point in their career, but Randy Moss didn't have that injury.
Randy was also Hall of Famer, though.
Yeah,
beforehand.
I mean, Randy Moss and Odell are not very similar.
I just use that as the end. I'm just putting two different ends of the spectrum. Yeah.
I mean, not like Odell's going to the Hall of Fame. I just mean where we thought of them in their career. Like, right. Randy Moss was over in Oakland. Like, that was a wrap.
I don't have an answer, and I know the easy answer is it's on Baker. Let's just keep on throwing everything in the Baker bin because it's all Baker's fault.
Stefanski takes a lot of it.
Come on now. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
So, let's see if that happens by 4 Eastern today. And if it doesn't, it's still an interesting question.
I would say it's not happening.
Shrug emoji, man.
I would say not.
Let's take a break. Somebody who knows, I think, or has an inkling, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Let's break down some film with him. Can't wait to chat with him. Always made smarter when Dan comes on the program. He's next. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Joining us right here from NFL Live. I also enjoy listening to him call games on the college football weekend. Our friend Dan Orlovsky from ESPN back here on the show. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing good, Rich. Good to be back with you, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. I'm just got a ton of questions for you. I'm just going to jump right into it. What do you see when you look at the Chiefs? What's going on, do you think, when you see them?
A lot of issues.
What are they?
A lot of issues. Number one, there's a lack of commitment to running the football. We all know that. Do I think they're great at it? No. But the lack of commitment to actually calling runs. This is an offense that has made its foundation, the RPO, the run-pass option. When you do that, there are negative consequences to that for both units and players. Your offensive line does not fire off the football like it would if a run, just a run play was called. They no longer are obsessed with moving people off the line of scrimmage. Candidly, they can't really try to drive people past 3 or 4 yards because if Patrick pulls the ball on the RPO and throws it, that's going to be a flag. So I think there's been a slow deterioration in the mindset of an offensive lineman. I think number two, Patrick Mahomes' feet have absolutely no rhythm to them. I'm doing this on NFL Live today, a breakdown.
Yep.
I think Patrick Mahomes mechanically right now is the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Ooh.
Let me. I'm not trying to be a hot take or hyperbolic here. I'm completely aware of who I was as a player, and I'm completely aware of who Patrick is. Patrick's the most talented player I've ever seen at that position in my life. I also don't want to pretend like Patrick was Drew Brees, like he was this tactician, this technically, perfect player. He's always been a poor mechanic or freelance mechanic player. He has never been who he is right now inside the pocket. His feet mechanically are so bad right now. It is having such a negative impact on the pocket presence, the accuracy, the rhythm of a play. There's multiple examples last night, and it has slowly started to present itself and deteriorate, and I thought last night was even more of a culmination. There are still moments of good results, yet there's a bad process when it comes to that. Mm. They haven't really developed the number two wide receiver outside of Tyreek. Tyreek, Kelsey's the tight end. That's one and two pass catchers, but there's no number two wideout. It's not just a single thing, Rich. Do I think there's fixable aspects to it? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Mike Kafka, and Patrick Mahomes have earned the right for patience, so to speak, and belief and trust in it. But that's just the reality right now.
That was my follow-up about how fixable things are because, obviously it is the longest regular season ever. We keep hearing that. We're now have reaching right around the halfway point. There is an extra game of runway. Unfortunately, that extra game of runway for Patrick Mahomes, that 17th game is coming up this week. It's Green Bay. So you run out of time for patience and trying to fix stuff that is fixable. How quickly is this stuff fixable in your estimation?
Yeah, I don't think the mechanical stuff is fixable in season. I think that's really difficult. Can you make it better? Yes. Do I think you can get rid of it? No. I mean, that is a commitment to the offseason type of thing for me. But I think they can get him better on it as long as they emphasize it and he emphasizes it and really works at it. The reality is you only practice 3 days a week, right? And so maybe it's one of those things, and this is what I would be trying to sit down and have a conversation. We got to come in on Monday and Tuesday and work on some of this stuff. Give me 30 minutes. Give me an hour. Mm-hmm. I just, for me, that's what I would try to be talking about. I've been pounding the table that, I would call more check with me's more than RPOs. Check with me's are you call two plays in the huddle. One could be a run, one could be a pass. You want to get to the line of scrimmage and they're going to play you in those two high safeties? Let's run it. The offensive line, we are not throwing it until you hear me go check, check, alert, alert, apple, apple, whatever. That is the check with me. And if they drop down a safety and play one high, well, then we could throw the football. And I think that would be a benefit for their offense. The turnovers and penalties are with, I don't think we're, they, that's who they are this year right now. That's just who they are. And they're going to have to try to overcome that and kind of really hone in on some of the other execution aspects to kind of mask it, so to speak.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. You could check out more of Dan's opinions of Patrick Mahomes' footwork and what's fixable and what's not later on NFL Live on ESPN. He's on the Rich Eisen Show right here. What do you think's going through Sean Payton's mind about who's the starter, not just for this week, with it looks like Taysom Hill on course to return from a concussion, or for the rest of a season that appears to be flat out in the mix for the division and for a run in the NFC. I mean, the Saints are coming on strong. This is a season that is not lost. What do you have for me on this, Dan? What do you think?
Yes. Sean Payton's track record and the empirical data we have on Sean Payton says that he's going to be pretty darn good and so will the Saints no matter who his quarterback is.
Hmm.
He's got 20, we got 20 games of Sean Payton as the head coach of the Saints without Drew Brees. He's 19 games, excuse me. He's 16-6 without Drew. Okay, so Drew's a Hall of Famer. You're not going to get that production out of the quarterback. But this, the backbone of this football team, roster-wise, is a hands-on, sticky defense.
He sure is.
That is not changing. And then a very good offensive line. So I look at it as saying, Trevor Siemian, if we were going to point to one thing that he could not do, that is his fatal flaw, so to speak, it is having to move, having to go above the X's and O's, having to go create. Well, with a dominant offensive line, or a really good offensive line, and a lights-out play caller, you don't really need that as a quarterback. I need you, and Sean Payton needs Trevor Siemian to go and be really good with his decision-making, get the football to Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, who's coming back, Marquez Callaway, who's coming on. I think they move forward with Trevor Siemian because of that, because of the offensive line and because of Sean Payton. And I still think that they can be a good football team. I don't think that this is a Super Bowl run football team. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, I don't believe that adding Drew Brees back or Phillip Rivers or Cam Newton or trading for Nick Foles changes that. I think this is a team that can be a good football team and be in the mix come December with Trevor Siemian because of the backbone being the defense and the offensive line.
Can you do me a favor and put into words, best you can, from your experience with what Siemian was able to do in the middle of a game, Mike White getting a start for the first time in his career, also Cooper Rush not knowing really if he's going to start until the last minute, and then he wins his first career start. How difficult is that to do, Dan?
Yeah, there's certain aspects of it that are incredibly challenging because you're waiting for the moment. You don't know when it's going to come. Specifically for a guy like Cooper Rush and Mike White, those later round draft picks, guys that have been tossed around or undrafted free agents, you know, Greg Olsen, who's the offensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders, was my rookie year quarterbacks coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something to me my rookie year that forever changed my football time, but also like my life, so to speak. And you don't know when the opportunity is going to come. Don't look back and regret that you weren't ready. And I think that's what we saw with some of those players is you don't know when the opportunity is going to present itself. And so you got to be impatiently patient. You have to maniacally work and prepare like it is going to be today and believe it's going to come. Because when it does, you get one shot as one of those late round guys. You get one moment to go, all right, this guy doesn't stink, and we'll give him another chance. And you've just got to be so ready and prepared for it. And I think what you saw specifically with Mike White and Cooper Rush was those guys have sat and watched and sat and learned and had mental rep after mental rep after mental rep for thousands of mental reps. And so when they had to go on the field and play, they knew what to do with the football for the most part. I thought that both their mindsets were, I'm not going to lose the game. You know, and I've heard Steve Young say that so many times, as a backup quarterback, don't lose the game. Mike White, go watch the tape. He just did a really good job of taking easy throws. He threw to the backs 20 times. Just, hey, you guys, go earn your scholarship. Go earn your paycheck, so to speak. Cooper Rush, you know, again, didn't do anything to hurt the football team outside of that one interception. And even then, the deep. So I just think those guys, you know, we're ready for the moment, did not try to be something that they're not, and we're just very good with making sure that they did the simple things at a high level.
I saw it my own two eyes at SoFi this weekend where the Patriots were daring Justin Herbert to check it down, right? They were like, go ahead. You know, like, this is what we're not going to let you go deep. Mike Williams is not going to beat us. You know, you need to be patient. And the quarterback who did that and then took his shot, waited for guys to come clear on the second level, was Mac Jones. He was spectacular, Dan. He was spectacular. Again, it's unreal what's happening.
Rich, I think Mac Jones is the best quarterback rookie-wise I've ever seen when it comes to knowing where to throw the football, when to throw the football, and how to throw the football. I said this when I started looking at him. I called his games last year. He just has this incredible ability to play so fast. And I think for many reasons why is because he was the scout team quarterback in Alabama playing against that Alabama defense for 2 years. You better learn to play real fast when you're playing against the starting defense for Alabama. There's two plays in the second half that are the phenomenal imagery of this. One is he does a play-action pass. It's to Jacoby Myers. Myers starts on the right side of the formation, and he's got like this little 6 or 7 yard shallow cross to the left side. And it's a play-action. It's in the fourth quarter on really that game-sealing drive, so to speak. And he ends up being basically wide open after the play-action. And Mac just kind of floats this ball out there. It becomes this 20-yard completion. Go rewatch it, because Mac comes out of the fake, flips his head around, and he puts his right foot, back foot in the ground. Right when that right foot hits the ground, that ball comes out of his hands, floated to space on the shallow cross. If he waits 2/10 of a second, takes a fraction of a hitch, or just is a blink slower, he's going to get hit from his left side, the backside defensive end. It is going to be a sack fumble, and there's three Chargers there waiting to pick up that fumble. That is something that it doesn't show up in a box score, but is a game-changing play. And it's because the young man knows when to throw the ball, mm-hmm. where to throw it, and how to throw it at such an incredibly high and efficient level right now that their offense doesn't really have moments of, sputtering. They're just really, really efficient right now.
He takes what he and then he has no problem throwing it away. I was really impressed with what I saw. Yep. Last one for you, Dan, in the couple minutes I have left with you, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. How impactful is the Von Miller acquisition? Because obviously this is the Rams saying we're going to win now. He's not under contract for next year. This is the ultimate admission, even though we've gotten the sense of it with everything else that they've done. This is it. Right now, they got the quarterback, they've got the back end, they got the front end, they got Bobby Trees, they got Cooper Kupp, they've got Daryl Henderson, they got that line, they're ready. How impactful is Von Miller in your estimation?
It's huge. The way I phrase it is this is about getting through the playoffs, not getting to the playoffs for the Los Angeles Rams. This is that 4 or 5 game stretch because they know who they got to play. When they get to the dance, they're playing the Dallas Cowboys, and they're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they're playing the Green Bay Packers, and they're playing the Arizona Cardinals. You better be able to get after the quarterback and not kind of succumb numbers on your back end. You better be able to bring 4 or 5 and still be playing coverage. Now, something the Rams have started to do that they did a little bit last year midway through the season, they're taking Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd and putting both those guys right next to each other, basically on a tackle. Outside of one of the offensive tackles. Aaron Donald head up and then Leonard Floyd outside of him. And then they're putting a different defensive lineman on the center's head, right above the center space, right? When Rich, as an offense, when those guys do that and I got Donald and Floyd on one side and I got to throw the football,
crazy.
And they got a person over the center's head, I've got to take 4 people and send them that way. I have to because Leonard and Aaron are all the way outside and I got to help the center. Von Miller is going to be away from that. I got to bring 4. I only got 5. That means Von Miller is going to be one-on-one a lot. And I don't need Von to win like he did in 2015, 30 times a game. I need him to win 5 times in those passing situations. And I think that's exactly what their plan with Von Miller is.
Wow, man. That's the only thing I could say. I'm like laughing listening to you say that. That is really wild. Yeah. That's how impactful. Hey, man, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. What game you doing this weekend? What are you doing this
weekend? I have Oklahoma State and West Virginia. 7-1 Oklahoma State. They're a good football team, so I'm excited for it.
All right, you're calling McAfee to do your research? Is that what you got? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, I'm actually demanding that McAfee join in the booth. I think it's going to be a hard no, but we'll see.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Really appreciate it. Let's do it again. Thanks, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're the best. Dan Orlovsky makes me smarter. Hey, man, let me just say this. He just told you what the Rams are planning to do schematically. Just think about this. Let's linger for a touch.
Okay.
What Dan Orlovsky just said is spot on. The Rams acquired a player not to get them to the playoffs, but through the playoffs. Okay?
Yeah, I like that one.
And they acquired a guy that used to do it a significant amount of times at a very, very, very high level and occasionally can still reach that high level when he's healthy and has shown this year he can reach that high level. But he's not the guy, the only guy. And I've been talking about how the Cardinals have a whole host of guys like that. J.J. Watt before he got hurt. A.J. Green no longer the one. Just be the two. James Conner, you don't need to be the one. Just be the two behind number two. That's it. Hey, Zach Ertz, you scored that game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, and boy, when Wentz was there and, you know, they had Alshon Jeffrey outside, right? You were the inside guy. You were the guy. Like, you were the guy. Like, you were being circled by defensive coordinators. Don't let Ertz beat us from the tight end position. Hey, you know what you are? You're option three. You're option four. That's what you are. Those are the dangerous guys when you already have enough people to get you to the playoffs, right? They're taking you through the playoffs. The Rams acquired Von Miller to be that guy. A 2 and a 3 next year, short, but he's only on the books for also like $700,000. I've done a lot of reading about this article, this trade, since we were on the air live when it happened. Like, we were kind of like spinning our wheels a little bit, trying to catch up.
Yeah, this 20, just in.
25
that hours. That the Broncos essentially paid for the draft choices.
Yeah, $9 million.
They said, we're going to take care of most of his salary.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, there's the general sense of what a player is and who he is and what their contract is and how old he is in relation to what that, how that correlates to a chart for a draft choice. The concept was for Von Miller, despite being a Super Bowl 50 MVP and being one of the best in the business, for his age and for his contract being up this year, if you had acquired, if the Rams had just acquired his contract with the salary, it would have been a fifth-round choice. Broncos said, we'll pay. You just give us better choices. Mm-hmm. They essentially paid for the draft choices. And I imagine that maybe that's the only way it could have fit or whatever. And that's fine with less need. That, okay, we're going to get Von Miller right now. Just, this is it. We're just looking for today, correct? That's just what this rule is. This is what this whole trade is about. Von Miller is going to cost us less than $1 million. And right now, it's going to cost us less than $1 million, and he's the guy to help us get through the playoffs, not to the playoffs. Other teams need multiple players to do that. We just need Von. And what Dan Orlovsky just said, don't need him like back in the day the Broncos did to win those one-on-one battles that he's so lucky to have him multiple times in a game. We need you to win him, you know, 80 to 90% of the time.
Yeah, just... You know,
he said
enough.
He said if he's one-on-one 30 times, just win 1/6 of them. That's it. Why not make that trade?
Why not?
100 times out of 100. Yeah. I'm wondering if other teams in the league go, wait a minute. We'll do it. But apparently they didn't have the benefit of maybe calling the Broncos to make a deal for a linebacker a week before to start the process. I know that I'm oversimplifying things, that GMs can call any GMs around the league, and they should. Counterparts speak to counterparts, and then they go back, and then they push it up the chain, and then all of a sudden your phone calls are made at the general manager level. What a trade. What a trade.
It's awesome.
Think about it.
Go for it, man.
We're rushing 4. You've got 5, but it's less than 5 because you've got to double 1, if not 2. And the one you don't double is coming.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, you're going to double Donald, so...
Well, 10 times out of 10, you're doing that.
Yeah.
And then you got to pick your poison as to who else you double,
right,
if at all.
So that was
What if they bring a fifth? What if they just want to blitz you?
If they blitz.
Oh, man.
Suddenly it's 6-on-4.
You got to do this sort of stuff. You're going to go after Rodgers and Brady and Kyler and Russ, if Russ makes it. But, you know, in order to make sure Kyler and Brady... and Rodgers come to your house, you've got to beat Russ to have the record to do it. And the best way to make sure that Brady and Rodgers come to your house is to beat them heads up. They've already beaten Brady. Last Sunday of this coming month, we're finally in. They visit Green Bay. How big is that going to be? It's going to be like 30 degrees. We're all going to be still just stuffed on turkey and tryptophan.
Oh, so bad.
You know, and we're just going to be just waking up from a 48-hour nap, and it's time for Green Bay and Los Angeles. Von Miller in Green Bay with his new team. First up for him is Tennessee. Let's take a break. Phone calls, and we didn't get to it yesterday. The latest college football rankings are out. AP and you and coaches poll. And tonight is the first college football playoff rankings. Correct?
Yeah, buddy.
Fantastic. That's next right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Talking about how long these World Series games are taking, and you're just basically telling the younger generation, we'll see you on YouTube.
See ya. Yeah, see ya.
But then again, my 10-year-oldest son is not that interested in baseball. My youngest son, Coop, when is Aaron Judge to Halloween?
Yeah.
I mean, and he sits, so I'm sitting here saying they're not being marketed to younger kids, baseball, but hold on a second. We're also here on the West Coast. A Yankee game first pitch is 4:00 p.m.
Right.
So he comes home from school and he'll watch a little bit, and then a little bit of homework, and then game ends at 7:30 at night. Yeah. He sees the whole thing.
It's awesome.
And he's a Yankee fan. Now, if he was a Dodger fan, that might be a different story.
Yeah.
Plus, I would punish him. you know.
But those are 7:30 games that could over at 11 on the
right.
Dodger.
So
Dodger,
he's
Padre.
He's totally into it, and he watches my youngest son watches that quick pitch program on the MLB Network, which is like a half an hour of just mashed up highlights.
Oh.
And he can't get enough of it. Yeah. He'll watch it. He was watching it in September, like a week delayed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's like our This Week in Baseball. Like, you know what I mean? We would watch that on Saturday morning.
Sure. That's true.
This is Mel Allen.
Mel Allen. Here's this week's TWIB notes from around the National League.
Love this.
I did baseball. That all the time too. Baseball Bunch with Johnny Bench, right?
Yeah. That was the only time.
Was that?
That's a little too before me, but
that was the only time you got to see the players whose baseball cards you'd collected because you could only get your local game back, in the 80s.
That's what it kind of went. So, I
or it was like
when,
George Michael Sound Machine, Sports Machine.
When Rob Manfred said that, in relation to, the Chop in Atlanta and all of the culture war stuff that Trump played up, to what I guess he feels is his benefit, because I'll tell you what, he's from Queens, I'm from Staten Island. I mean, he's as New York as they come. we didn't care about Atlanta Braves baseball, and we didn't care about Chops or anything like in New York City. It's just it's definitely, but anyway, when Manfred said that, hey, locally here, it's cool here locally, and we sell the game locally. We're regionally selling the game.
Yeah, it's a regional sport.
But this is the national pastime, man. Like, are we giving up on that battle? Is it over?
It's been over for a long time.
Yeah. No, I know
football
that. But
taking
but
that
even,
over.
But
for
still,
a long
you're
time.
Not gonna you're not gonna try and.
No.
Just even we're just retreating. It's a retreat.
I don't think they care.
Because it's all working locally and regionally?
Yeah. I mean, they don't care.
Well, what about now? This is the World Series. How many people are sitting there talking about what's going to happen tonight? Who's starting?
Nobody. We didn't even talk about it yesterday. And we're the two biggest baseball fans.
Yeah,
we're the baseball show.
Would we if the Yankees were in it? Would we if the Dodgers were in it?
Absolutely.
If it was Dodgers, with all due respect to your Braves, and I'm saying this, I all due respect on the front end, which means I'm
sure.
If it's Dodgers, Astros, it's a totally different bad blood situation, and we're all paying attention to it more.
Were we paying attention when it was Mets, Royals? Not really.
I was.
Well, because it's those were your politics, local.
Yeah, local.
You were local.
To New York?
But, like, not one of our...
to the Mets. The Mets
are
your
team. Not one of our teams was in it, and not the team of the city where we do the show was in it, so we just kind of blew past it because NFL Monday was huge. Baseball is a huge problem. Huge.
Well, like I said, though, my 10-year-old is in. He's in.
But because you're in.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I'm in. But my oldest son is. My youngest daughter really isn't. She'd rather go run outside and have me throw passes to her and throw a baseball to her than actually sit down and watch a football or a baseball game. You know?
The games take way too long. And
again, she's also eight.
People
so
are seeing them.
If Chase from Paw Patrol put on a glove, she might be more interested.
I get that.
Let's go to Sam in Iowa. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
What's going on in your mind?
Well, Rich, I called you before the season started. I was the Chiefs fan that predicted maybe we might go 17-0 this year.
Hey, guy.
I forgot to do that in high register at the time. So I'm not really embarrassed by my prediction.
You shouldn't be.
We definitely got the talent. You know, I thought we had the home field advantage. But here's going on. We are so out of sync. This is ridiculous. Everybody keeps on asking, what's wrong with the Chiefs? What's wrong with the Chiefs? When are they going to get it together? We're not getting together. We're not making
No,
playoffs.
Don't say that. Don't say that. No, 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 Sam. Ooh. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't
no
say
playoffs.
That. Don't say that.
Okay.
You can't say that. You cannot say
Rich,
that.
Rich, yep. We were in, what's this, week 8.
Right.
We're leading the league in turnovers. We're leading the league in penalties. This is week 8, and we haven't fixed that yet.
Bro, I saw the New York Giants get beat in the old Giants stadium by a Patriots team that went 16-0. And that Giant team put it all that on the line that night, even though they didn't have anything to play for because they were going to be sneaking into the playoffs as one of the low seeds. And they put it out on the line that night, and they lost to the Patriots. I was there in person that night. It was one of the most amazing regular season games I've ever seen. Meant so much for something that really didn't mean anything when it all came down to it, other than the fact that we saw a regular season finish with a team that had a zero under the L column, and that Giants team won the Super Bowl, and nobody left that building that night. 0.0% of the human beings in that building that night, and I would proffer to say that includes those in the Giants organization, thought to themselves, we're winning the Super Bowl this year, and believed it. Now, Strahan might say it. Those guys might say it. Dude, I've just seen too much that is not easily explained happen in this NFL. Nick Foles coming in, when he came in for the injured Wentz, and he looked like hot garbage. What was that, against the Raiders? Remember that? Was that a Monday night game or something like that, Chris? Or a Sunday night game or something? In that year, he looked like hot garbage. And it's like, uh-oh, Foles, this is the guy that's going to be the quarterback for the one
Giants.
Seed. And nobody, that's why all the dog masks came out, man, because they were underdogs in every game, and the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Patriots and Brady. You cannot sit here and say after 8 weeks at 4-4, it's over for the Chiefs. You just can't. You can't. Are you making at least making a U-turn literally in real life? Because I'm trying to make you make that U-turn with your point in your car right now. Are you doing that? I hear that
okay, you're talking about the Super Bowl hangover. Here's what the Super Bowl hangover is.
Okay.
It's just being pulled too many different places by too many different people. It's not like the players aren't trying as hard or working. They just don't have enough time to work together. I don't know how many games I went to when Mahomes hooked up with Kelce. He threw the ball before Kelce even cut it and hit him right between the numbers.
Right.
They were so out of sync last night. He was throwing balls over Kelce's head. Kelce was in the wrong spot. They don't have enough time to work together as much as they have in the past years.
Well, I appreciate the call. Hang in there, literally. Please do that. Seriously. And to me, what the Super Bowl hangover is you've played more games than anybody else. It's a long season, man.
Long season.
It's a long season. Chiefs make it all the way to the AFC Championship game 1 year. Next year, they make it all the way to the Super Bowl and win it. Next year, it's a pandemic. Literally, the country shuts down 2.5 months after they win, or a month and a half, actually, after they win the Super Bowl in South Florida. And the Chiefs, the next year, go all the way to the Super Bowl again in a pandemic. You're going through protocols more than any other team except for Tampa. And then you're coming back this year and maybe, just maybe, catches up to you. That's, to me, what a Super Bowl hangover is. And it's not like most of the team, you know, is tired or anything like that. It's not explicable. But you just see it. You see it when you see it. And then the rest of the team that wasn't on the team, that's now new to the team, includes one of the most important units, which is to protect the prize, the unicorn. And you heard Rod Woodson say, and Orlovsky say too, the footwork's off, is what Dan said. And part of the reason why the footwork may be off is he had surgery on a foot. And maybe it's because the guys in front of him, he's still getting used to what they're doing, and they're getting used to what he's doing. And he's, you know, throwing behind a line he might be a little jittery behind. Peyton Manning pointed out one of the first things he revealed on the Manning cast last night as he was talking to Mahomes leaving to the week, and that Mahomes is straying too far up in the pocket, and the guys who are blocking in front of him think they have enough space, and all of a sudden he's right behind them, or they're right in front of him, and that he's drifting. That's why I'm saying, you know, it's just 8 games. It really is just 8 games. There's 9 left. The problem is with the fact that there's 9 left is who's playing
yeah,
in the 9?
The schedule is insane.
Who are they playing in the 9?
Green Bay coming up at Vegas,
Cowboys.
Dallas.
2 left with Vegas.
And they still have Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, as well as their division games, 2 more against the Broncos. The schedule's really hard.
And then a visit to the Chargers, who have beaten them already.
And so let's say best case scenario, they go 6-3, right? Is 10 wins enough to get into the playoffs?
I think so, as a 7 seed.
7 seed, though. 7 seed.
Right, yeah. And then it's who wants a piece of them?
But if they're going at Baltimore.
Who wants a piece of them?
I don't know, man.
You think Baltimore wants another piece? They finally just beat them.
I think they do want another. I think they would welcome that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
They just beat them and they're at home.
I think a Ravens fan is like, we've beaten them once already. We don't need to see them again. Who wants to see the Chiefs as the 7 seed? Man. It's kind of similar to who wants to see, like last year, they were too banged up for it. Lakers, right? Who wanted to see the Warriors as an 8 seed if they were healthy?
Maybe.
So this is a team that would just struggle. I mean, I wouldn't want to see the Chiefs as a 6 or 7 seed. No, thank
you. It's not a light switch that you can just turn on once the playoffs.
I'm not ready to basically just say they're done. How can you sit there and say that when it's Mahomes and it's Kelce and it's Hill?
I know, but you've watched the games.
I have seen it, and they look out of sync. But a win is a win, and I'm just looking at the standings right here, and I don't see a photograph of it. Yeah. Anything from last night on there.
But there are photographs.
There's tape. I get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Sam calling in from Iowa, you know, behind a wheel. And, by the way, appreciate him signaling.
Hands free.
Too many people don't signal. All right?
That's an LA thing.
So, him saying, yeah, they're done? Come on. I can't go there. I won't go there. Now, if they're 500, if they're – even if they're 6-6, like I said, how many – you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers have gone on a run from the last spot in a wild card. Giants. Come on now. We've seen it too many times. I'm missing several examples, I'm sure. Come on now.
You're too nice, Rich.
No, I'm not too nice.
You're supposed to bury teams on Tuesday.
Just because
we've
seen the Chiefs do it over and over again. Problem is we've seen them do it from the top end of the food chain. Now they're in the middle of it.
You've never seen them look this bad.
No. Though, man. So we're basically saying that they look this bad. They can't play well. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. I can't say that they definitely won't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Right now.
Do you believe it, though?
Hour 3 coming up with your calls and more.